The Senate Democrats spokesman Mike Murphy wrote on Twitter that you are, quote, weirdly attacking fellow Democrats who agree with you.
Well, let's talk about this. It's the status quo is the foe.
The status quo
is the foe. Complacency is the foe. A legislative body, often left to its own devices, will not make the tough decisions, right? Hypothetical, husband and wife, husband's not crazy about the in-laws. Mm. And the wife says, my family invited us to the lake this summer for a week. Do you want to go? What does he say? He says, well, you know, let's think about it. That's interesting. But he doesn't really want to make a decision because he's in trouble either way. So the more controversial issues tend to sit, and unless communication and force is applied, they will not decide. And that's why you see the advocacy groups now getting engaged this last month, and that's why I'm getting engaged. There's no doubt, Doctor, that the beginning of the session, we did a lot of good things in January that had been hanging around that the Republican Senate wouldn't pass, and now we had Democrats, and we did Roe v. Wade and Genda and a lot of good things, DREAM Act, that I had been trying to get done for years. But it's not enough. I didn't sit here for 8 years taking half a loaf and excuses from the Republican Senate not to really have a full-throated, aggressive, progressive agenda. And I'm responsible to the people of the state, Democrats, Republicans, et cetera. And my whole mark, what they're going to say at my eulogy, I hope, is as governor, he worked 7 days a week to get things done. I'm not a press release politician. I agree with you on the issue, but we can't make anything happen. But I agree with you. It's not about rhetoric. It's about results. I don't care if you agree with me. Let's get it done. And if we don't get it done, we both fail.
Well, wait. There are some people who say, Governor, respectfully,
yes,
of course,
respectfully, as always, very respectfully. Yes, always.
That, you know, you kept the Republicans in power all those years. They were really your friends. You wanted them. They were the ones who would say no, no, no. And you would say those awful, terrible Republicans. And therefore, you kept them in power one way or another. And then when you were having progressive people running against you, you had to go the other way. And you said, we want the Democrats. You went out and you were, that's the narrative. It's respectfully,
yeah,
that you know.
I know. People can say a lot of things, right? And people do say a lot of things, especially in this environment. But then there are facts, right?
Okay.
Last year was the first year, in my opinion, we had a chance to win a Democratic majority. I don't believe we had a feasible, politically responsible belief that we were going to win the majority before. And I went all out last year. I spent millions of dollars. I campaigned to win a Democratic majority, and we did. And in January, we passed a lot of the things that hung around for a long time, and I signed them as soon as I could, which sort of belies your theory of, well, he didn't want to do these things.
No, not my theory. What people are saying.
The people saying thing. So, but I signed all them. And now here I am in June, pushing again, saying we haven't done enough. We end the session as it is. In my opinion, we haven't done enough to vindicate what we said we would do with a Democratic majority.
Okay, so let's go.
Not only am I progressive, and also this, Doctor, with all due respect, let me stop you 1 second. There are some items that should be ashamed to leave the Capitol without passing. How do you continue what's called a gay panic defense? I got a lot of calls after this because I mentioned it on your show. Nobody knew what it was. The gay panic defense is I can use, by law, as a defense that I was under extreme emotional distress when I found out the person was gay. And that's a justification in a criminal case. I was under extreme emotional distress when I found out the person was gay.
So you hurt him? Is that the idea? If you hurt somebody and you're arrested for it, your defense is, when I found out he was gay, I had these bad feelings, and that's why I did it. Is that what you're saying?
I killed somebody.
Yes.
And I killed the person because I found out that they were gay. And when I found out they were gay, I was so emotionally distressed that I was not responsible and I killed them. How do you have, in the laws of the state of New York, the first state to pass marriage equality, a defense that upon finding out they were gay, I was emotionally distressed? What if the law said, upon finding out they were black, I was upon finding out that they were Italian, I was... What? In New York? I did a case when I was HUD secretary against the Ku Klux Klan, which was tracking a biracial girl in town on the theory that she was light-skinned and white people may go out with her not knowing that she was biracial and had African American blood. I mean, this was in the Deep South, Ku Klux Klan, and I sued them for it. I'm governor of the state of New York. We have the gay panic defense. The Bar Association says it should be done away with.
So who is stopping it? In other words, name names, please, sir, respectfully.
Name names. I don't want to, I don't know well enough to name a particular legislator.
Well, is it in the Senate or is it the Assembly? Is it Andrea Stewart Cousins? Who? I mean, you know, you can't just...
It's both houses. It's both houses because they can play off against each other and anonymity works for them. And I'm not at the position to decloak anonymity today, but I will if the session ends. How do we not pass the Equal Rights Amendment? We have Trump running around degrading women, states taking away a woman's right to choose. How do we not change the Constitution to add sex, to add women? Why not let the people vote on that? It's totally appropriate. It's New York as the progressive capital. It's New York in keeping with our equality demand for women. How do we not pass an equal rights amendment so people can actually vote for that? How do are we one 47 states allow surrogacy? This state doesn't. We pass marriage equality. Surrogacy, which is another question that came up, doctor and everybody called, they didn't know what surrogacy was. Surrogacy is this: an infertile couple or a gay couple want to have a baby. An infertile couple can't, a gay couple can't. So they go to they find a woman who will carry the child as gestational surrogacy. And they sign a contract with that woman. This state doesn't allow that.
How come?
Because the theory is, well, maybe the woman is being exploited. Okay, now 47 states allow it. We just passed Roe v. Wade, a woman's body, a woman's control. But yes, maybe a woman could be exploited. So let's get the woman an attorney. Let's have her represented. Let's have the Department of Health approve the transaction to make sure no one's being exploited. But you passed marriage equality, and now you're saying, but there can't be a gay family that can have a child. You have an infertile couple, and they want to have a child, but they can't. They have to go out of state to the 47 other states that allow it.
Is there religion infected in this in any way? In other words, is the Catholic Church opposing?
Catholic Church doesn't like it.
And you think
but,
that's
by
what
the way,
it is?
The Catholic Church didn't like marriage equality. The Catholic Church didn't allow the bill we just passed allowing child victims' rights, you know. So I know these are tough positions to oppose the Catholic Church. I'm a Catholic. I'm sure I'll pay for it one day in the afterlife. But politically, as you remember well, my father, myself, mm-hmm. we had to take these tough positions because they're the right positions.
Well, you say you're a Catholic, but I want to ask you about that. Your father, I remember it was the front page of the New York Post, a bishop said your father would burn in hell. Now, you're a Catholic. Doesn't that mean you have to believe that stuff?
The burning in hell part?
Yeah.
It caused my father great pain. We talked about it many times personally. And it causes me great pain, you know, to have the criticism of my church is not easy. So I understand.
But do you believe it? Do you believe that what the church says is that if you take a contrary position, you will burn in hell?
Yeah, well, I believe in Jesus Christ, and I believe in the teachings of Jesus Christ. The church is the organization that is on earth and Christ's representative. But I believe in Jesus Christ, and I have my interpretation of what Jesus, the teachings of Jesus, would lead one to do today.
But that isn't the way the church works. The way the church works, as I understand it, I'm a Jewish guy, so I don't know. But the way the church works, right, is that the Pope is the final non-disputable arbiter. So you say, yes. I have my own feelings. That means that puts you against the Pope.
Yes, I have my religious beliefs, and I have my political elected constitutional duty. And I believe I can be true to my oath of office and representing the people of the state, not as a Catholic, but as a duly sworn representative. And that can be in conflict with the teachings of my church. And that conflict, that tension, I've lived with all my life. I've lived with it through my father. So, yes, I get it. And I get why they don't want to oppose the Catholic Church. I get it. But I also get that we passed marriage equality, and now we're saying to gay couples, you can't have a family.
Got it.
In this state.
I want to move
on. How ironic is that?
I want to move on. Rent regulations expire in June. You suggested in another interview in another place yesterday that you wouldn't sign a rent law package if you weren't included in the negotiations. What do you want to see included in this package? Should rent laws be expanded beyond New York City? A lot of people don't like that.
The what I said in another place
in another
and time, it was actually on Mars. No.
It was on WNYC, actually. We like to name them because they're colleagues. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Well, you could name them. I wasn't going to name them.
No,
I was just going to say another time and place. I wasn't going to advertise.
We're big fans of Brian Lehr.
Okay. Yes, we are. I said the suggestion that the two houses should negotiate a bill was not an intelligent, realistic suggestion because the governor has to sign the bill.
Yeah.
And if the governor doesn't sign the bill, it doesn't become law. I think we're going to do the best rent law that we have ever done in this state.
Could you be more specific? In other words, should the rent control ideas that are in New York City and in place for a long time, causing great controversy, be exported to upstate New York?
I think there are places in upstate. First, I don't think the New York City politician should tell upstate New York what to do.
That's the assembly.
And I think we have to be careful of that because we have a New York City bias in the legislative body. But if a upstate locality believed they could benefit from the rent laws and that it worked with their economy and could be suited to their economy, yes, I think I would be open to that. I think we have to do more in tenant protections. We have eviction laws that forget we're dealing with people and families. They will evict a family in the middle of a school year, disrupt a child's education. So I think we have to do more on tenant protection. We have to do away with vacancy decontrol, do away with what they call preferential rents.
Will you explain those? Because you're going to get calls saying, what are those two things?
Well, there are a host of, let me say it this way, there are a host of very specific protections that have been put in place for landlords that allow them to raise the rent if they make improvements to the apartment, if they make improvements to the building. They can offer you a discounted rent, but then that goes away and the rent immediately inflates. These are very technical changes that have been put in over the years that are biased towards the landlords. And Now we want to make the system more fair and more protections for the tenants, which I think is long overdue. I was the housing secretary under Bill Clinton. I built housing. I did homeless housing. I've lived this issue all my life. And the Republican Senate was more leaning towards protecting the landlords. That's true. And I think now we have more of an orientation towards tenant protection. So we will have that law. And that will be, I believe, the best law we've ever had. Will it make everybody happy? Nothing makes everybody happy nowadays. But the basic point is we're down to the home stretch. Yes, we did good things in the first inning. You don't win a ball game because you scored in the first inning and then you didn't score for the additional eight. This is not justified, all the time and effort that has gone into electing a Democratic Senate. It just hasn't, in my opinion. We can do more. We should do more. These are, you have some morally reprehensible. Donald Trump would propose the gay panic defense. Donald Trump would be opposed to surrogacy. Donald Trump is against the ERA. Not the legislature of the state of New York. Donald Trump is against legalizing marijuana. And for the Senate to now say they don't have the votes to pass it, which is what the sponsor of the bill said, I mean, what was the point?
I want to move on, if I may. Lawmakers are held a hearing on single-payer health care. Yesterday, with the Affordable Care Act constantly under threat from the GOP. Why isn't single-payer a good idea for New York?
Single-payer is a great idea for the nation. For one state to do it, the problem is the financial impact. You can argue, doctor, and I believe it has credibility, that long-term the state would save money if you went to single-payer. In other words, you could drive down the cost of the entire system over time, and over time you would save money. However, short term, you would go through a significant disruption and a significant increase of cost. You would double the state budget, basically. So just think about that. You would double the state budget just to cover the cost of health insurance. That's without doing all the other priority needs we have, education, et cetera. So it really is best done on a national level. And that's why I'm hoping in this presidential contest we elect a Democrat. And I think the Democratic Party, not just the presidential candidate, but the party itself, will be very open to exploring single payer. And that is the way to the easiest way for states to do it.
So just to be clear, you're against our doing it at this time?
No, I favor single payer. I think it's easier done on the national level. Practically, yeah. I don't see how you double the state budget in the short term.
Well, all I can tell you
in this economic environment.
All I can tell you is my good state of Massachusetts, where I live, you had Mitt Romney and he set up a system where almost everybody in the state is covered.
Yes. Yeah, look,
so
first
doable.
Of all, I'll put our look, we have the perfect is the enemy of the good. We have about 95% coverage today.
Right.
Nobody knows that. Because of the Affordable Care Act and because of what we've done with our exchange and Medicaid program, we're at 95% coverage. That's something else you have to say at my eulogy, because nobody appreciates that point. So, yes, there are still 5% of the people in the state that don't have coverage. But we have made tremendous, tremendous strides.
So let me ask you about the aid in dying discussion we've had yesterday. We've had it many times. So also called physician-assisted suicide. You said this session was a bridge too far. Why is that?
I would love to see them pass it this year. But I have a calibration from watching the clock. Let's go back to another sports analogy. You watch the clock and you see how many points they have to score in a short period of time. We are down to just a couple of weeks, right? I outlined 10 items yesterday. Can the legislature handle these 10 items over 2 weeks? I hope so. Can they handle 11, 12, 13? I think death and dying, which I support, when I said a bridge too far, I don't think they have the political capacity or desire to take on that many controversial issues. You know, going back to asking the husband, will you come spend a week with my mother-in-law? They don't want to decide. How many people do they want to offend? They're going to offend the Catholic Church if they do surrogacy. They're going to death and dying is also the Catholic Church opposes that. And that is a controversial issue, no doubt about it. So I think there's a consumption for how many controversial issues the legislature as a body will take on. I have an insatiable appetite. You know, I believe the opposite. I believe you're not going to make everybody happy with everything. Do the best you can and do the most you can.
Okay, I want to ask you about the business community, who doesn't like the idea of expanding the prevailing wage, saying it's another hurdle in doing business in New York. What do you say?
I say you said that about the minimum wage. When we raised it to $15, the highest in the United States, you said it was going to hurt the economy. It's done the exact opposite. This state has the strongest economy in history. Taxes are down all across the board, except for the federal surcharge under SALT. We have more jobs in this state today than ever in history. Unemployment is down to lowest levels in history all across the state. So prevailing wage that pays a family a wage that allows them to live with decency, et cetera. No, I believe you can do it if you do it intelligently and right. And it will actually help the economy.
Just to be clear, Governor, prevailing wage means, go ahead.
Prevailing wage means a public project, a project that gets public funds for the public good, would pay workers a prevailing wage, a wage that is set by economic factors in that region.
So if I were building a WAMC building somewhere, I'm not, and we got some money from the state or from the feds, we would have to accept that higher prevailing wage that exists in the
state. If you got money from the state would say, as part of this grant, we want you to pay a good wage to workers so they have health care and benefits, et cetera. Because otherwise, by the way, if you don't give them health care, then I have to give them health care. So really, it becomes a cost to the people of the state. And we call that wage the prevailing wage.
Okay.
The opposition would say, well, then it costs me more to build the building.
That's true.
I would say it may. We could argue, but even taking your facts, it might cost you more to build the building, but it costs society less to subsidize that family. You know, one of the things in the minimum wage discussion, the corporation was paying minimum wage, and then the people of the state had to provide Medicaid and food stamps and additional family assistance. So we were subsidizing corporations. McDonald's paid minimum wage, but the family was still below the poverty level, so we then had to pay for the health care costs and food supplements, et cetera. So it's gross cost versus net cost, if you will.
Okay, got it. Listen, on behalf of the people of Massachusetts, where I live, I wanted to thank you because medical marijuana isn't going to pass in New York State the way I'm seeing it right now, and Massachusetts will continue to get all the money, and you'll get nothing.
Well, not so fast. Mr. Massachusetts. And by the way, I find that somewhat offensive when you keep saying Massachusetts me with such glee.
Yeah, that's why I do. You know,
You do. No, I think you take delight
in tweaking
me
with
saying my state of Massachusetts. Okay, just so we're clear. I don't mind. Part of being governor is you get tweaked, but I just want to point that out. I don't think the Senate can maintain the position that they don't have the votes for marijuana. You know, we are in a very progressive environment, and the Senate wants to be the most progressive, right? They're all going to go back and be in primaries where they have to beat their chest about who's the most progressive. I don't think they can go back and say, well, we did a lot of good things in January, but then we didn't do marijuana, and we didn't do surrogacy, and we didn't do ERA, and we didn't fix the sexual harassment laws. By the way, sexual harassment laws, where it has to be severe and pervasive. Severe and pervasive to be sexual harassment in the state of New York. Are you kidding me? Why would you have that standard? It has to be severe and pervasive.
Because a bunch of men passed it.
That's right. So I don't think you can defend that we didn't make these changes.
Okay.
Prevailing wage, marijuana.
I hate to interrupt, Governor, but as you know, you have a bunch of really tough people working for you. You're the good cop. They send me notes like, finish at 10:58 sharp in bold letters, underlined 10:58 sharp. That's in 40 seconds. Now, you're going to say, well, you know, I'm a good guy. And those people, I don't know about those people. That's like Trump saying he doesn't know about the guys who are working for him. So I have to get off now because I'm scared of these guys like as a party and Melissa and all of those people. Those are people who really can eat your lunch for you.
Are you comparing yourself to Trump, Doctor?
No, you.
No, you. You said that would be like Trump saying.
Ah.
Oh, you were saying I was like Trump.
Well, you found me out. Okay, so we have
okay,
to
goodbye.
Go. We have to go. Goodbye. Thank you very much,
goodbye,
Governor.
Goodbye.
We appreciate it.
Bye. Goodbye. Thank you. Bye.